You can give a description. How old, how many teeth. You know these people, they know their animals, and they know how the age, how many teeth or color, some kind of something. Okay, how big, how small. Okay. But anyway, and basically if a person, we are not here to take the people property. If you think it's his, it's because he can say a goat, but it's a lamb, so it's going to be, so he have to give you some kind of idea what it is that he lost. Okay, so the man asked, what about camels? He said, you have no business with camels, because the camel has its drink or its water bag, okay, and eats from the land, because the camel has a lot of patience, can stay for a long time without water. He said that means he already have the requirements to live, because this is what I want to say, is like
humps.
Wait, I was trying to
reserve,
like a reserve tank. Mm-hmm. He have something, understand, he can, even if there is no water, and he will find something. And the camel is big, a wolf is not going to attack a camel, because the camel is big. So he said, leave this one alone, okay, leave it alone until the owner, the lawful owner, will find it. And hadith, this hadith is authentic. You read the English for yourself later on, and try to see if I can finish the chapter inshallah today. Hadith number 801. وعنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من آوى ضالة فهو ضال ما لم يعرفها. The Prophet of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said that whosoever keep a stray he who gives refuge to a stray is a stray himself, as long he does not make it known. Okay, whosoever keep a lost thing, okay, he himself, he's bad, he went astray, he did something wrong, the only thing will take him out of being bad is what, that he will announce that I found something. Okay, that means the Prophet ﷺ telling you, don't take something that has a value that you found it, unless you planning to make the people aware that you found something and they can come claim it if it's theirs. But don't you understand, pick up something from the ground and right away try to hide and run to your house. You don't come out for 2 days. So, and after everything is calm, now you step out of the house. This is not the right way with Muslims, okay? Yeah. If you do this, you'll be a stray person. Hadith number 802 عن عياض وعن عياض بن حمار رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من وجد لقطة فليشهد ذوي عدل وليحفظ عفاصها ووكاءها ثم لا يكتم ولا يغيب فإن جاء ربها فهو أحق بها وإلا فهو مال مال الله يؤتيه من يشاء. The hadith is authentic. Hadith is reported by Iyad. Are you there, Abu Saif? Abu Saif. Hello? Anybody there? That whosoever find anything, he should call 2 trustworthy people as a witness to what he found, and he should make it known the quantity, the amount, whatever it is, okay? And he shouldn't conceal anything, not he should hide it. If the lawful owner came, he should give it to him. If not, this is the property of Allah, he give it to whom he pleases, okay? So you find a wallet, you get the 2 trustworthy Muslims, tell them I found this wallet, this is the amount of money in it, it has this and that, this and that. And this too could not come and claim it later on, you understand? Yeah. Except if you ask them, hey, brother, did you lose anything? You say, oh no. Did you lose anything else? I say, no. I say, okay. You guys have found something today. This wallet and this amount of money, da 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 da. Okay? Now, if somebody show up and say, I lost a wallet, or I lost some money, how much? $200. Was in what? Was loose like this. You say, oh, it's not yours. Because what I found is something different. You find a wallet and it was $2,000, not 20. You see? So if the lawful owner came to claim it, give it to him. If he didn't come, okay, now it is something that Allah gave it to whom he pleases, okay? And as we said, the maximum period the person will keep it is what? 1 year. But we're talking about what? Something worthy of keep, okay? Not like somebody found $1 or $5, you understand? Go make announcement about it and trustworthy Muslim and make announcement for a year. No. We're talking about something. You know what's something, okay? Yeah.
The witness has been male or female or what?
It's not made specifically, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Let's go to a chapter, and I'm going to try to go zooming through this chapter. I'm not that expertise in it, neither we can be expertise in it. When it happened to you, take it to a scholar and he will give you a fatwa about it. But basically this is about al-fara'id, and al-fara'id is a plural for word farida, okay? And this is the portion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed for the people who inherit after a person die, okay? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made certain portion, like third, 1/6, a half, like this. This is called farida or fara'id, okay? So this is what we're talking about, inheritance or the shares that the person will obtain after a relatives, okay, will die. And here hadith number 805, page number 333 and 334, عن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ألحق الفرائض بأهلها فما بقي فهو لأولى رجل ذكر. Okay. That means the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanding us that to give the share entitled to the people that been declared in Allah's book, and whatever remain after this will go to the nearest male heir. Okay? So if a person has the half, you give him half. If you have a third, you give him the third. And all these people already got their shares. Now still remaining part of the inheritance now is going to be directed towards the nearest male heir to the deceased person. The hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim. Next hadith, 806, عن أسامة ابن زيد رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا يرث المسلم الكافر ولا يرث الكافر المسلم. The hadith is the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim. Hadith is authentic. Reported by Usama that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that a Muslim could not inherit from a kafir, neither a kafir can inherit from a Muslim, because here two different religion. Hadith number 807, عن ابن مسعود رضي الله تعالى عنهما في بنت وبنت ابن وأخت فقد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم للابنة النصف ولابنة الابن الثلث تكملة الثلثين وما بقى فللأخت. رواه البخاري. The hadith reported by Ibn Mas'ud. in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari, may Allah be pleased with him. Here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam been questioned concerning a daughter and a sons of daughter and a sister. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his ruling concerning this case, that the daughter gets a half and the sons of the daughter get six, making two-thirds, and what remain goes to the sister. Okay, make two-thirds, because here the son of the daughter, the son of the daughter will almost be like the daughter, and if there is two daughters they take two-thirds. It's so complicated for me more than you. Okay,
I'm sorry, it's a question about the kafir. Suppose,
okay, we get to this inshallah. Okay, all right, so that means these two they will share the two-thirds, and this is the reason he gives him the remaining. Hadith number 808 عن عبد الله ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يتوارث أهل ملتين. The hadith is حسن. Two people of two different religions, they could not inherit from each other. As example, a Jew and a Christian. So if the father is a Jew and the son is a Christian, so this one has a religion, this one has a different religion, so they did not also supposed to inherit from each other. So the first one was talking about a kafir and a Muslim, and this one talking about two different religions, they are not supposed to inherit from each other. Hadith number 809 عن عمران ابن حسين. The hadith is weak, we going to skip it, and after this we go to hadith number 810 in page number 335. The hadith reported by Buraida, and the hadith is weak, we leave it alone. We go to hadith المقداد, حديث number 811, that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said الخال وارث من لا وارث له, that uncle, that mean the brother of the mother. Okay, the brother of the mother will be material uncle. Okay, is maternal uncle is the heir of whom who has no heir. I don't see the word here. Okay, so that means the khal or the uncle, the mother brother, in the case that is not only children, because there is more than the children to inherit. Okay, like the give you a general idea inshallah about people who inherit. As example, ten people among the men that they inherit, the son of the son, the father, the father of the father, the brother, and the son of the brother, okay, and the uncle, and his son, the husband, okay. But as example, if there is a father, okay, the father die, so his son, he will inherit. But if there is a son to this son, his father will come, what we call it hajb, will stop his grandson to inherit from his grandfather. So as example, me and Ahmed is my son, so my father passed away, Ahmed could not inherit from my father. Why? Because I am the one who going to inherit, so I block the way of Ahmed, you see. So in the absence of me, okay, now Ahmed will come and take from my father, you see, like this. So we have 10 people who inherit among the men. Among women, the daughter, the daughter of the daughter, okay, but if there is a daughter there, okay, so the daughter of the daughter is not going to inherit, okay. Also the mother or the grandmother, the sister, the wife, and we have also the shares that have been made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like you have 1/4 and you have 1/8, you have 1/2, and as I said, this is not a simple subject to go too much in details in it, but whenever it comes and happen to you, take it to a scholar inshallah and he will tell you. But we're taking a general idea since it's a subject approaching us here inshallah. So that means in the case that there is none to inherit from the deceased person, the uncle will come and inherit also a portion. And عن حديث number 812 وعن أبي أمامة ابن سهل قال كتب معي عمر رضي الله تعالى عنه إلى أبي عبيدة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال الله ورسوله مولى من لا مولى له والخال وارث من لا وارث له. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are the wali of those who has no wali, and the uncle or maternal uncle will inherit when in the absence of the others people to inherit, and the hadith is authentic. Hadith number 813, page number 336, إذا استهل المولود ورث. The hadith is authentic, reported by Jabir, that when the child, okay, if a person pass away and the wife is pregnant and it's been known that she's pregnant, okay, well known that she's pregnant, this baby that is in the stomach will inherit, okay. But if the child came dead, he doesn't inherit. So if he come even for a moment, 5 minutes, okay, not even 5 minutes, a minute, okay, by screaming, crying, kicking, anything to show that he was alive, so now he will have a portion of the inherit of his father who had passed away while his mother carrying this baby. Goes to hadith number 814, page number 336, and this from Amr ibn Shaib, and the hadith is mawquf, ليس للقاتل من الميراث شيء. The hadith is mawquf, that means is a narration of the sahabi, and that the killer could not inherit, okay, and somebody he knows that he understand if that his father millionaire, he could not wait until the decree of Allah happened, so he will go, you understand, and kill his father, or a wife will poison her husband, or whatever it is, okay, so they can be a millionaire after him. As a result of doing this, you could not inherit. You could not inherit, even if you are a Muslim, okay, even if you are a Muslim, because you had committed this crime, now no share for you in the inheritance. Hadith number 815, this from Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم saying ما أحرز الوالد أو الولد فهو لعصبتي من كان. That رسول الله, the hadith is Hassan, hadith is good, acceptable, reported by Umar that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying the property of a parent or a child acquires goes to his agent, his agnet, okay, this is al-usba, okay, and I will explain to you what is al-usba inshallah.
It's new words.
we talk hadith here, had spoke about this word before. Like you say, the nearest male here.
Okay. Next in line of inheritance, male inheritance.
The closest
male. Yeah. Yeah. Next in line,
I'm a man. Yeah. You know better than me. Okay. You know what's the deal. Okay. وعن عبد الله ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الولاء لحمة كلحمة النسب لا يباع ولا يهب. And the hadith is authentic. Now, الولاء, we talked about it before, that somebody will free his slave. Okay? Will free his slave. And now, this ولاء that is like the flesh. You could not sell the flesh, you could not give it away. So now, if this slaves that I set it free die, I, the person who used to be his master, I will inherit him. This relationship called what? Al-wala. And this wala I could not go give it to somebody, voluntarily to somebody, or sell it to somebody. So now, if my ex-slave die, now somebody else, you understand, can inherit him. I could not give it to somebody as a gift, neither I can sell it to somebody. I am the only one can get this. That the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, the property of a the right to inheritance from a free slave is as for kindred by lineage. It could not be sold or given away. Understood? Hadith is authentic. And last hadith in this chapter, hadith number 817 by Abu Qulaba, may Allah be pleased with him, from Anas, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Afradukum Zayd ibn Thabit. That Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the hadith is sahih, is authentic inshallah, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, Afradukum, that the best among you is Zayd, concerning the what breakdown or dividing the inheritance, and knows who takes what and all the things. The best one is what is Zayd ibn Thabit, may Allah be pleased with him. We go now for a new chapter, and hopefully inshallah we'll close before the tape click, concerning al-wasaya. This chapter number 21 in book Bulugh al-Maram, Arabic and English version, this is page number 339. عن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال ما حق امرئ مسلم له شيء يريد أن يوصي فيه يبيت ليلتين إلا ووصيته مكتوبة عنده. متفق عليه. حديث reported by ابن عمر, may Allah be pleased with him, and the hadith is authentic in the collection of الإمام البخاري as well as إمام مسلم. And that is not supposed, if you have something, that if you owe somebody money, as example, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, you can be dead, you're supposed to record these things. Walaykum assalam. Okay? That you shouldn't have something that is serious and you leave it like this, not known to the other people. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is encouraging us that we write al-wasiyya, what you call it, the last will or last will and testimony or what? Testament, okay. That Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraging us to do so. Also, if a person want to make a wasiyah, recommendation that you understand when I die my car is for so and so. Okay? You could not make a wasiya for somebody who going to inherit by Allah's law. But as example you say, I want to give my car to my friend so and so, because your friend doesn't inherit from you. So you can make a wasiya, I want to make you understand something out of my property for so and so. Or like we would talk about waqf, the trust. Okay, I want to make this property after I die to be fi sabilillah. People utilize the fruit of it and or sleep in this house or this hotel. So these things have to be recorded, okay? Because after you die, you did not express your feeling or your wishes, nobody know about it, it's not recorded any place. Now your family will take the whole property. So the wasi, if you have something in mind, you want it to be done after your death, you should record these things. Okay? Next hadith, which by Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, قلت يا رسول الله أنا ذو مال ولا يرثني إلا ابنة لي واحدة أفتصدق بثلث مالي؟ قال لا. قلت أفتصدق بشطر؟ قال لا. قلت أفتصدق بثلث؟ قال الثلث والثلث كثير. إنك انتظر ورثتك أغنياء خير من انتظرهم عالة يتكففون الناس. سعد ابن أبي وقاص may Allah be pleased with him and the hadith reported from him and the hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari as well Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhima. The hadith is authentic. So Sa'di said, O Prophet of Allah, I am a rich man and I have nobody to inherit me except one daughter. Should I give in sadaqah 2/3 of my property? The Prophet said to him, no. He said, should I give half of my property? He said, no. He said, should I give 1/3? He said, yes, you can give 1/3, and even 1/3 is still a lot. It's for you to leave your, what you call the word? Your heirs rich, better than leaving them what? Poor. Okay? So from this hadith we understand that the maximum that you can give as a sabil or a trust or a wasiya, okay, fi sabilillah, after your death, maximum is what? 1/3. And that we should be concerned about our families and not only concerned about things fi sabilillah, because what you give into your family is fi sabilillah and they deserve it more than anybody else. So you should be concerned about them instead of leaving them poor, begging and asking people for help. Hadith number 820, page number 340. وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها أن رجلا أتى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال يا رسول الله إن أمي اقتتلت. نفسها أو افتتلت نفسها ولم توصي وأظنها لو تكلمت تصدقت أفلها أجر إن تصدقت عنها؟ قال نعم. متفق عليه. This hadith that a man came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and he said to him, O Prophet of Allah, my mother had died suddenly, like she didn't get sick and after this you understand, no, suddenly she passed away, and I think that she, if she has a chance, okay, that she will make a wasiya if I give a charity in her behalf. Okay, will this help her? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, yes, it will be sadaqah for her and will be beneficial for her. From this hadith we understand that sadaqah in the behalf of the deceased person is acceptable, that a person should give a sadaqah in behalf of the deceased if they think that something had prevented them to do so, and this what they were looking forward to do, but they die in a car accident, they didn't have the chance, you understand, to make this. That we also should be always have our wasiyah written, because we never know what can happen to us. And from this hadith also that we should be learn how that we should be benevolent and kind to our parents alive or dead. Next hadith, which hadith number 821, عن أبي أمام الباهلي رضي الله تعالى عنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إن الله قد أعطى كل ذي حق حقه فلا وصية لوارث. حديث number 821 page number 340 reported by أبو أمام الباهلي, may Allah be pleased with him, and the hadith is حسن, is good. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is saying, what the meaning is, Allah has appointed for everyone who has a right what is due to him, and no will must be made to an heir. Okay, now we're saying wasiyah. Wasiyah is a portion from the property of the person to be given away after he die. The wasiyah could not be written to a warith, a person whom Allah had gave them a right to inherit from you, like your daughter, your son, your father, your mother, your wife, okay? And we count all these people, okay? We already mentioned some of them. That you could not make a wasiyah for him. The wasiyah will be to a friend or a far relative that he is not have a portion of your wasiyah by Allah's book. Okay? Do you understand what this now? So the wasiyah, which he, maximum of it supposed to be a third, no more than third, you could not put a name of a person like you say, okay, when I die, my mother should get $200,000 of my money. You could not do this. Why? Because automatically your mother going to inherit from you. You could not say, understand, my red car, the limousine, is for my wife. You could not do this. Why? Because your wife is going to get one-fourth of your property, as example, or maybe one-eighth, depends, okay? So you could not write you, her name, a part of the wasiyah. So the wasiyah is what you requesting the people after your death to give out of your property without a special portion be made by Allah. So when the person die, what's going to happen? First you got to take the expenses of covering his death, washing him, shrouding him, buying the grave, all these things. Okay? After this, they will pay the debt if you owe somebody money. Number three, they will give the wasiyah, which maximum will be a third. And after this, what is left now is going to be divided according the shares that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it in the Quran. And the last hadith in the chapter before the last hadith, Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, inna Allah tasadda alaykum بثلث أموالكم عند وفاتكم زيادة في حسناتكم. Okay. That this hadith reported by Mu'adh, may Allah be pleased with him, and the hadith is Hasan, is good. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give a favor as a sadaqah to you, a third of your property, when you are about to die, as an addition to your good deeds. Okay? And this also, that means this is like a charity from Allah, that he give you a permission that you can make this wasiyah, so you can be getting a reward after your death by giving this wasiyah. Last chapter, which is chapter number 22, and this chapter number 300, in page number 341, concerning al-wadi'ah, chapter 22, trusts, and page number 341, عن عمر ابن شعيب عن أبي عن جدي عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من أودع وديعة فليس عليه ضمان. Okay. That whosoever been trusted by a trust, he is not a guarantee for it. The hadith is hasan, is good, acceptable. Okay. Now if somebody gave me a wadi'ah, said I'm going for Hajj as example, and I would like you to keep this car in your front yard until I come back. Okay? So now I put the car in front of my yard, and after this, while you go to Hajj, somebody come and stole the car. Okay? I have the car in front of my door like you told me. I didn't leave the door open, I didn't neglect it, I secure everything. Got lost, I called the police, I made a report, everything, I did the best as I can. Now when you come from Hajj, you did not ask me to pay you for this car. Okay? Because I did you as a favor. But if I take this car and I put it in the front yard, and now I leave all the windows down, leave the key in the ignition, okay, all the things, because as a result of my neglectings to this trust, now I'll be responsible. Okay? So it's good that we help each other, that somebody, he wants you to keep this trust for him, that you can. As long as you know that you're going to take care of it and you're going to protect it for him. But if you think that you're weak, you could not take care of it, that you are not going to keep eye on it, that what? Say, I'm sorry, let somebody else do it. And as long as you take it in your trust and you did the best on it, you didn't neglect it, you are not responsible about what happened to it. And I'm sorry, I know that I had cheated you, that I went very fast during this class, but really, as I said, this was the last class in the album number 4, and I want to start the album number 5 with a new chapter completely. So today, alhamdulillah, we'll finish with business transaction completely, and inshallah, if anybody doesn't understand anything or I cheated you by going fast in something, we will give you 2 minutes for questions and answer, or you may can ask after the class, but not today because I have another class after Maghrib inshallah. Okay, how? Okay, what time Maghrib comes in?
8:30.
We give you 8 minutes inshallah for discussion and question, and inshallah next class will be a new chapter, which I know that I'm going to have more people coming. This is going to be the book of marriage. Yes, brother Shabir.
I've never read how do you distribute
inheritance of a kuffar
to multiple wives? Now
multi-wives, they will get 1/8
each?
No, 1/8 as example.
Divided among the two.
Yes,
wives?
For one wife, okay, it depends if you have children or no, but the total, let's say that you have 4 wives, mm-hmm. and you have $1 million. So you divide this million on an eighth, in the eighth. So 1/8 of it, they will share it.
All the wives.
All of them. If they are 2 or 4. Okay? So now this 1/8, you will take it and divide it by 4, or divide it by 3, or divide it by 2. Okay?
Okay.
Alright. You will try to ask also about the kuffar and the Muslims' inheritance?
Yes. What about yes. Is your father?
Okay. If your father, the best answer, okay, the best answer that what I heard from Brother Ghassan. Basically what I learned and what all the sheikhs that I sat under them, and even Sheikh Ibn Baz rahmatullah alayhi, all of them, according to the hadith, that a kafir could not inherit from a Muslim, neither a Muslim can inherit from a kafir. Okay? The explanation that I got from Brother Ghassan, especially being in a far country like this and a lot of relatives and things like this, and if you don't take this money, the other relatives, which is a kuffar, they would take it, using it in the haram. So actually you have one of the two choices, that this money will go to Bayt al-Mal, if there is Bayt al-Mal, the general fund of the Muslim, but there is no general fund here, okay? So what I understood from Ghassan, that the relatives, the Muslim relatives, they can take from it, but not to take it as inherit.
Okay.
They will take it, they will have access to it, but they don't take what is prescribed in the Quran. Let's example say that the Quran say the if they have two daughters, so the two daughters will get one share, that mean half and half, and the boy will get one share. فَلِذَّكَرِ مِثْلَ حَظِّ الْأُنْسَيَيْنِ, that mean a boy will get a equal of share of two girls. Okay? And so now we did not come and say this daughter or this son will take one and the daughter will take half and the other daughter take a half. But they may be take two, they may take three, they may be take one fourth. They did not inherit according what Allah prescribed in the Quran. Yes, you have a question about the class? Oh, okay.
If you give your father something and he dies, can you take it back?
If you give your father something and your father die, you can get it back? Okay, if you give your father something, now is your father. Now when your father die, now this is the property of your father, and now everybody else will share this. That means your brothers and your sisters, your mother, and your father's sons, and okay? So the family will, this became part of the father inheriting, okay? Let's say as example, you give me $1,000. So now after 2 days, now this $1,000 is mine. Now after 2 days, I died. You could not come and take this $1,000 now, but you will get a share out of the $1,000, and Ahmed get a share, and the rest of the family like this.
Do if you want stepchildren to get something, you have to specify that.
A stepchildren.
Yeah, like if your wife had a child before you married them.
Oh yeah, yeah. This is so she don't inherit. So yes, you going to write this part of the wasiyah. So the wasiyah as example. Yes, Ahmed.
When it comes out and there's blood on it, can you wash it with some soap?
You don't have to put soap. Cold water will be enough. Or you can put some soap.
I can put the teeth back in.
Oh, you have to have a crazy glue. You don't put it back on, Allah will make you another teeth comes out, inshallah. Okay, you have to be patient. So, we said the maximum you can give in wasiyah is what, one third. So let's say you understand that I will say one third of my property is like, as example, $30,000. So out of the $30,000 I will say, I want to give so and so 3,000, 1,000, 500, okay? But the total what you're giving to everybody out of the wasiyah have to be no more than one third. But out of this wasiyah, you can give whatever portion you want to give. That means you can give the whole wasiyah to one person or to 20 people. And out of the wasiyah you can give some to the masjid. You may give some to me if you want, you see, some to the neighbor, whatever that you want to give. Yes.
You said that the father would stop the grandson from inheriting.
The grandson?
Yeah. As long as the father is alive, he could not inherit from his grandfather.
Yes.
So can the grandfather make wasiyah for him, the grandson?
Can the
grandfather make wasiyah for the grandson?
Who's going to die now?
The grandfather is going to die.
The grandfather is going to die.
So the grandson could not inherit anything because of the father. But the grandfather wants the grandson to have something. So can he make wasiyah for him?
Like we give everybody and still something remaining, we go to the first person like this. But as I said before, I'm not that expertise in this. This is not an easy subject, as well as the subject of nursing. Okay, so this is two subjects that I don't want to get too much deep in it here, really. Yeah.
Would not the life walking around the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with you?
Again?
Wouldn't that wasiyah be like trying to walk around the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
No, Allah is the one. No, Allah is the one who legislated.
I know, but I'm saying the intent of giving it to the son.
Oh, yeah, if
Right, on the last one, understand.
Yes, for sure. We could not understand. If you know that this person, there is a possibility that he can inherit, okay, you could not do because la wasiyah al-warith. This was the hadith is saying that there is no wasiyah for a person who can inherit. Yes.
Let's just say that grandfather is a non-Muslim and he wants to bypass his actual son now, and so he then in his will he leaves something to his grandson. Now can the grandson accept that just as well as the father, who would be not of the same religion except from his leftover in a sense? Now, can that son,
so you say he bet
grandson accept from his grandfather, who's going to bypass his father, can he accept it in the same manner that his father was able to?
And you say they in two different religion?
Yes, because you said that, a non-Muslim...
Yes, he can, because there is no inherit between Muslims and non-Muslims. So what he's taking, he's not taking inheritance. He's not taking, it's a special share, like one-fourth, one-third, one-fifth, like what's been written in the Quran.
Okay.
Yes. Alright, Jazakumullah khairan, and inshallah, like I said, next week we're going to be starting a new subject about marriage, and it's going to take as long as business transaction talk will be about maybe a whole album by itself. Thank you for coming. Jazakumullah khairan, and I beg Allah's forgiveness for any mistakes that I made in the class. It's not intentionally. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all for coming. Jazakumullah khairan. And congratulations everybody for making up for the last class in album number 4. This is number the 12th tape for album number 4, in explanation of Bulugh al-Maram, and greeting to all of you from Masjid al-Muslimin, Columbia, South Carolina, United States.